welcome to the Community Development Summit titled Organizing a Resilient Future, brought to you by the Permaculture Institute of North America, or PINA. If you support permaculture across the North American continent, then please consider becoming a PINA member today at pina.in. I'm Jesse, and I'll be your host for today's summit. Our next presenter is the luminous Lois Drumheller, speaking on how to run for local office. A retired registered respiratory therapist with 43 years of experience in healthcare and health education in Florida, Texas, and Pennsylvania, Lois is also a passionate advocate for clean air, water, and environmental justice. Her activism led her to join the board of directors of Protect PT, a nonprofit focused on public safety and environmental education, and to serve 5 years as a councilwoman in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, an experience she calls one of the great learning opportunities of her life. During her tenure, she helped establish a USDA-recognized community food garden known as one of the, quote, people's gardens, which provided organic produce to 4 local food banks. Drawing from her grassroots campaign experience, Lois and fellow Protect PT board member Tom Pike taught the course How to Run for Local Office to over 100 participants in the Pittsburgh area. She continues to serve on Protect PT's board and brings her passion for permaculture to clean air advocacy, watershed protection, and mentoring her family in sustainable gardening. Welcome, Lois. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Jesse. And just one modification of that, Tom Pike was the environmental advocacy, environmental advocate for Protect PT. So he actually worked with Protect PT and did so much. He went on to join other organizations that are sister organizations from us. So we still feel his vibe.
Awesome. Thank you, Tom. And thank you for that correction. Lois, just to start things off, most people, when they think about permaculture, tend to think about food and gardening and landscapes, which is all valid. But permaculture also applies to like community development. Can you sort of like from your perspective, your point of view, tell us, how do you think permaculture applies to like the community side of things?
Well, I can only describe that from based on my own experience. And then like everything in most everything in life, if you want to know a little bit more about it because somebody has opened your eyes a little bit, you start digging around. And so I wanted to understand what it was about. I knew people in my own community in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, like Elizabeth Beck, who had met at the library and formed a grassroots, it never was a nonprofit, but it was a grassroots organization called Sustainable Monroeville. Mm. And I, at the same time, was thinking of running for office. And I went in office, I wanted to look more into what I saw permaculture. And I said, well, why not apply it to a garden behind the library? We have all this land. So I got word of mouth. The internet was my friend, and I looked at, and I got a lot from Melissa Beck by attending those meetings at the library, and other people, too, who knew components of it. And I ended up applying it to the garden, which I could explain more as you need. But that basically taught me to do, I think, some things with the garden that were applications of that.
Absolutely. And I think just running for office is so people oriented, like yeah. You're having to navigate a lot of these relationships and personal dynamics and power dynamics, too. So why don't you actually take us into your presentation and you can sort of show us what you've learned in the years. Many people, I think, are maybe intimidated to run for office. So hopefully this will be a nice little primer of like how you might start or some pitfalls to avoid, that sort of thing. Take it away, please.
Thank you. Okay, I'll take it away. Well, I did this presentation a couple of times with Tom Pike, and Tom had vast experience with people in other states at a much higher level. My experience as I was still a respiratory therapist working at that time was to learn more about my community. I didn't know too many people in Monroeville, and I had already lived there 12 years. So I decided, I actually got a call. It was one of those robocalls about an issue. I think it might have been the local Walmart is going to be coming in and they're going to be occupying land that's an area that is absolutely horrible for the environment. Please come to this meeting. And that was my introduction to local government. I think my experience of being introduced at that late phase is typical because a lot of people don't understand. Do we have what is the local government consisting of? The mayor? Well, it varies, and in the state of Pennsylvania, with so many municipalities, boroughs, and ancient law, because we're one of the 13 original colonies, we have varying versions of the little towns to the big cities, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. There are also communities like Monroeville that, after so many years, and they all of a sudden boom. As Monroeville did in the 50s, that they established within about 20 years enough people who at that time, this was the mid 70s, decided let's have a home rule charter. And you might want to write that down, home rule charter versus borough government. I wanted to know more about what was going on. And so that was a council meeting that when I sat in the back, there were these people around me that just kind of locked in, and they said, yeah, this is what's going on, and let's meet afterwards for coffee. And then within one or two meetings there, I had somebody telling me I should run for office. And I said, I've never run for office. What would I know? You know, I'm a child of the 60s. I graduated in 71. Maybe there's something in my past that they'd find out. And they said, no, you're interested, and this is and this is going to be a special election year. Now, that was 2008. And so that leads me to kind of travel to the mindset then that I knew there were issues. I didn't know much about the community, and I knew I had to learn some things. But in talking to the people that these were my new friends in the municipality, the people that were maybe had run for office before or attended meetings, and I think that included Alyssa. But these were people that very quickly brought me into what was going on there in a population of 30,000 people in Monroeville, which is an eastern suburb of Pittsburgh. I start this by saying, well, there are three main things I'm going to try to see whether or not you learn. First of all, the big one, why are you running? Determine that. Be a person that is able to not be afraid to meet people and on a cold call explaining who you are, and being able to explain that in reading materials, because you had, at least in 2008, enough of a local press who attended these council meetings. And I got to know the current mayor at the time, who encouraged me to run as well. And so there were already people there that, if I wasn't really good at producing a bio and sending it into the paper or producing a brochure, I needed to polish up on that. And I certainly had supporters. And then the part that everybody, I think, might be fearing the most is having a plan of action. You know, you've got, like anything. If you have a home of your own and you have an income and you know you have outflow, you've got to put things in order. And if you're going to run a campaign and it's a local one, you need an action or a plan of action as to how that's going to happen. I think I can advance my slides, can't I? I think I can. Let me see.
I think so. Yep, there we go.
There it is. Money. Yeah, there are plenty of people with money, and there are plenty of people who, I guess we know all too well now, have groups of people with lots of money behind them. But you know, money doesn't really substitute for the message that you have. And it's local. This is a community in Monroeville's predicament. They had what they call a home rule charter with seven members of municipal council. And they ran on opposite, years, like there was maybe 2 years in between, where out of the seven wards, four of them ran 1 year, and the even wards, two, four, and six, ran the opposite. And at that particular year, wasn't it a normal running for office year? That would have occurred the year after, in 2009. However, the person in the third ward of Monroeville, decided to get married and move, and she left that position, and they installed somebody in there in the interim who had to run. And so I had a chance to run in what they call a special election, something that not ordinarily follows every 4 years. And the rules for municipal council, in accordance with the Home Rule Charter here, is that it is a position that you run for every 4 years, and you do have term limits. So after 2 4-year terms, one must come off of the municipal council, wait another 4 years before thinking of returning. And that's crazy enough. People had done that, and they seem to have had recycled people. I was the outsider because, like I said, I'd only lived here for 12 years. I don't know about other states, but in Pennsylvania and Southwest Pennsylvania, you have generational things. Well, you didn't grow up here. That's okay because I may not have had historical references and remember when experiences, but I had a commitment to learn. So, not too many things have changed since 2008. In 2008, there were a lot of yard signs. I've noticed, perhaps this audience has noticed, that yard signs can be all over the place, and so can those mailers. Here's a early, well, actually, here's a later mailer, and front and back. But I seem to recall last year in 2024 that in the General Assembly election, these are the people that are in the General Assembly of Pennsylvania, your House of Representatives and your Senate. And the PA race for House had somebody that just had every other day another mailer, another mailer. And I'm saying, where is this money coming from? Well, apparently, money wasn't the object. And in 2008, I had to have a budget for this. That budget for 2008 to run was $2,400, thereabouts, 2,500, let's just say. And so I had to make it count. And so, like I say, you use the resources that you have, but nothing substitutes for introducing yourself, to being able to extemporaneously say who you are. And you don't try to answer something that you don't know the answer to. You say, I'm making notes here. Here's my street list. And I'm talking to you, and you live on Asbury Court, and I'm gonna write that issue by your name. Now, I'm already showing you one of the resources. But if I go on to the next, I'll show you that. Well, this is just an earlier, this is my very first thing that I came out with. I had a budget for things that I would put in the mail, and I had a budget for things that I would produce. And hand out as I was going around to all of the streets of the third ward. And in my out-of-pocket money for this, I found that I needed to make things very essential and concise. I was running for the third ward of Monroeville as a member of council. This would be the general election because that was November 4th, 2008. And I saw that I had to take my own picture. That's a selfie. And the advocate for people's rights, maintain stable tax base. Everyone is a fiscal conservative. You don't run your household and not be able to plan for something that's coming along in the second quarter that you're going to owe the school board or the municipality or the county tax-wise. You've got to be able to, to talk to people about those issues. And they're all wanting to preserve all the services that come along. So, I wanted that too. And I also wanted to hear what people had to say, especially since I've not been in that position. So I had to take some of that money that I had put aside and use some of the resources that I got and decide how they were going to be spent across time. I was fairly proficient. In at the time it was Excel, and Excel is a great tool because you can make lists of people that wanted you to run and put their names down because you might have tasks for them later on. Let's see if I have any of that stuff. Yeah, that was all in the decision to run. I did have to receive from the county of Allegheny here the timeline of what was due, when, and who were you responsible to disclose this information to? And also, do I have enough people that not only do they want me to run, will they also help me in one way or the other, the ways that they can help, which of course would be if they wanted to, they could walk all 83 streets of the Third Ward, because that's a pretty big portion of Monroeville, a lot of residential areas. And could they stand by the polls? Now, in doing that, I already knew some important issues because I had previous conversations with people who were currently mayors. None of the people who were on council, because they didn't know me, didn't want to know me. And the people that were attending council meetings, a little bit frustrated, that could tell me those issues. But the mayor gave me some wise advice. He says, I'll tell you what the important issues were that drew everybody's attention. And these are the dates. And go to the library and get the DVDs that were recorded of those municipal meetings. You may not have that access, but Monroeville, as big as it is, not only has council meetings, they have them twice a month, one to present the agenda and to hear from citizens, and the following week to take that consent agenda and make decisions on the things that are listed there, whether they are ordinances, which is the local law under Home Rule Charter in our case, and to resolutions on some things that the community thinks that that should do based on the overall plans and objectives for the municipality. And so this kind of stuff was not too transparent to people. And so transparency really was an issue itself. What I saw around me was that there, geez, there was only, this is 2008, only 15% of Monroeville remained at that time that was developable. And I wasn't sure why, but I knew that. And was it responsible development? And what did that look like? Also, what people need? They need refuse pickup. They need the streets addressed and the infrastructure to operate. And you needed to know who is doing what with what type of money. So in order to look at some of these meetings, you're going to be able to see. This is a participant sitting there. If you don't have a DVD to look at, you got to go to council meetings. You might be called a board of supervisors, or you might be called members of council, but it's at a municipal level. They have to abide by something in Pennsylvania that we call the Sunshine Act. It is to include the public. Anytime you are meeting as a body, a governing body, which is what ca municipal council does, they vote on the local laws. You must do that with transparency. You must talk about each item, and if somebody needs to have that clarified, you must do that. That wasn't necessarily what was going on, and other citizens were telling me things that I didn't know much about. But bottom line is, are we running the government with enough things to support it, tax base? Where does that come from? And already, there are things that I'm writing furiously as I'm putting together some things on Excel that I need to follow up on so that I understand what that is. And that's the part that you're either kind of geeky and want to know about those things, or you're not. And I found that strangely interesting. I already work with patients across a lot of years in three different states. And I knew how to talk to people to try to get them to clarify things, but and I also had to instruct them. So there was a skill set there that was needed. But you need to also look at some things the same way somebody would if they're being a detective. How did that happen? You know, and the only way you're going to know this is to either go to the source of where those meetings, the minutes of the meetings must be made available to the public. And people who remember the issues. And that was essential to answer that question. So I you know, next step is to look at that guidance that comes from the election division And it will tell you things like, what kind of a street list do you want? Where do you want it? Do you want just everybody who votes? And what I learned is, no, you want people who vote every time. So what I learned to do is I learned to go to the county and talk to the people producing these things and ask for street lists, which were free. But I wanted super voters. These are people that vote every election, not just every 4 years. Most of the decisions that are important to everyone's life, I think you all know, isn't just every 4 years. These are the people that are happen to be running this year. All the judges, whether they're in the Commonwealth Court or the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, and Court of Common Pleas, but also sheriff. And you got to do your homework as a person voting to see how did they vote on certain issues. Who are they adjudicating over? Is it what? How does it fall? So getting on the ballot. And knowing who I was going to talk about these issues, I knew that I had to disclose certain things. Now, there's a resource down at the end of this slide that says Resource for Local Government Laws. And the links that you find on the internet lead you right to the page that tell you where to go to pick up or have this mailed out to you. They would include county election rules, that's above here. Get all your materials, get your election deadlines, get the voter lists, such as what I just shared with you, and super voters. Now you know that super voters are the people that are likely to vote every single time. Why knock on a door unless you know they're going to vote? What your ward boundaries are. Now, a lot of people don't even know. Like, how does this divvy up? Well, in Monroeville, there are seven different areas. My map was attained. I might have had to pay $10 for it. I'm not sure. But and all the other information was free from the county elections division. Something that the state demands from everyone, which is a big point here, and I remember Tom Pike made great emphasis on this is the campaign finance. You must disclose to the state what you did for a living, whether there's any conflict of interest, and then filling that initial thing out that is on a, it's a list that like, has two or three pages that write, I forget what they call that, but as you're filling this out, it goes through two other pieces of paper, and you tear off one and send to the county. You've got a deadline to show who you are, what your background is, what you do for a living. Are you going to have anybody on your behalf run for you? I did not. I did not. I did it all. I prepared things for other people to go with me, and they walked with me if they walked at all. Or stood at a one of the three precincts that were here. But all of that is something that you have to start with that and you have to have that deadline. And I hope I'm not overemphasizing it, but if you see that picture there, that's a scene from when I was a little girl. I saw The Music Man that was with Robert Preston. And it was a great musical. And he's on the train with a lot of other salesmen, and he is just so confident that he's going to be able to go in there and woo everybody. And somebody stands up, the guy at the end of the train says, "But you got to know the territory." And you do have to know your territory. So you get your maps out, you drive in your car, and you go, "Okay, this is how this neighborhood winds around, and the cul-de-sac comes in here. And that's okay, here's on my street lists." And okay, so we had four different districts in the third ward, and I found out how to get around. And also had somebody who was familiar with that area pointing out some of the things that might be good ideas because when you walk neighborhoods, at least in this part of Pennsylvania, you're not on a flat street. You are on a windy, hilly street, and you got to choose some place to go from there and do an awful lot of walking. Which, by the way, is a very good way to lose a few pounds and eat what you want when you get back. Now, let's see what else. Next slide. Plan and keep your timeline. Yes, as I mentioned here, counties will have required document deadlines. That campaign finance reform, campaign finance reform, that must have been a Freudian slip. We need campaign finance reform. But the campaign finance that you are submitting has to be notarized. And during the course of the campaign, where your deadlines are known, you have to submit what you have spent thus far. And what happens is you accumulate that. And by the time you're through with the campaign, you're totaling up the amount of money that is spent on that campaign. So I had to budget and find out, gee, if I'm going to have a brochure, I'm going to have to print it. If I'm going to have cards that are sent in the mail, like the one that you saw in the earlier slide, I'm going to have something that said paid for by the candidate on there, because that's what it was for me. But also, I have a union label on there. And that was very important according to everything I've known growing up in another state. But I thought, yeah, this is a good idea. Just try to support that. And initially, you have to have a petition of people who agree that you should run. So that's one of the very earliest forms that's on a timeline. You have, in my case, I think we only needed 10 signatures for the person to run. Most states, I'm not sure if most states are like Pennsylvania. I suspect they are. Jesse, maybe you know that what a closed primary is. Yeah, and many, I think it's fortunate if you have an open primary state. And what that means is that you can only run in the primary for and against people in your political affiliation. And I ran as a Democrat, so you need to find out whether or not you can get a petition of people in your own affiliation, who are also Democrats, registered Democrats, and you have to make sure that you get their okay and that they haven't signed anybody else's. So you get to them first. You make sure that you explain the form to them because it's a long sheet that requires that you keep it clean enough so that it can be illegible and that it gets notarized when you turn it in. And these are people that you need to make sure that they're really registered as the Democrats or Republicans. If you happen to be a Republican, you're only getting that. If you happen to be a Democrat, you're only getting Democrats. But they have to have a signature, printed name, and you have to be careful that it occurs where it should, and that is turned in, and because it will be challenged by those who may not want you to run. And in that case, instead of 10 signatures, I got 20, 30. It wasn't that hard to get, and you have to be an early bird to do that. And again, because that operates in states with closed primaries, you have to find out whether anybody else is running on the other ticket, on the other affiliated, political registration. If you don't have anybody running on the as a Republican and you're the Democrat running, you have to pay attention to that. Then I'll explain that later. So yes, you see, petitions need to be notarized. The general consensus is get 20% more names than you need, expecting to be challenged, and fill out your statement of financial interest, which goes to the State Ethics Commission. Stay on schedule. The conversation comes, and what I did is I prepared a statement for the local press. That's harder to do these days because a lot of people don't get papers. We get something that's delivered here in Monroeville that it ends up being a little bit more than a penny saver, but it's the Monroeville Times Express, and it goes through the Tribune Media, and the ads pay for it. But what they were supposed to do, and what they used to do much better, was to present what went on locally with the school board and with the municipal council, and even some things in the county and communities that are around you. And so I had a little blurb that I prepared, who I was and what I stood for and why I think people should vote for me. So I needed to prepare that, but at the same time, going back to my computer and my printer, I needed to get brochures so that by the time that I was walking neighborhoods, I could do that. So an 8 by 10 that can be folded in three will produce that brochure. And of course, you have to put it in and get it right in the printer. And I had a darn good printer. I'm really happy about that printer. And I had to eventually it went into the way that they all go. But anyway, I had to decide how many people on the super voter list, and when I was walking, how many more of these to print out. These were not the only things that I printed out, because I knew there was another person running as a Democrat. That was the person that they appointed in the third ward councilwoman's place when she left. I had to also consider the cost of printer cartridges. And you know, it's not the printing paper, it's the cartridges that really run your bill. You had to make sure that the same person that might be doing union-made mail outs like these cards could also give you an estimate about what it would cost to have lawn signs. And so same union symbol had to be on those. I believe that it should be union made. I'm not telling you you have to, but I think it should be. And it has to be clear and readable. And oh, I just noticed that the past couple of weeks how difficult lawn signs are to read. They shouldn't have to be that way. I had a white background and red lettering. I had my name. I had third ward councilwoman. And I had paid for by the candidate, and I had both sides, because you want to make sure that you're judiciously parsing out and keeping track on one of those Excel forms who on that list will take a lawn sign, and then when to expect them, and tally that separately in your records because you're going to deliver the lawn sign, but you're also going to say, and don't put it out for the garbage after the election. I will come back the night of the election and scoop it up because I have to save it for the general election. You have to, unless you want to pay more money. The things were marrying together very well. I had a list that was building, and I had a first batch of my trifolds. And I had the campaign conversation. And what you must do is you must be wise with your time, especially if you're working still. Coming home from work and daylight savings times gives you a lot more time to do the primary than later on in the general election when you've really got to get your walking down. By the way, I walked both times. I covered those neighborhoods, not just for the primary, but I covered those same neighborhoods for the general election. Also, let's not forget, you went to the council meetings. Maybe you never went before in your life, but you better be physically present there at those council meetings. What are the issues? Get the minutes. They, in our case, were online. Very fortunate that you can get things online. I could get copies, knowing that the particular dates that things were decided on that were important, I could go back in the archives and I could see those minutes. And I could also see the public comments during the first meeting of the month from citizens. And we call that Citizens Night here in Monroeville. And feeling confident enough to either ask a question, which most of my appearance before council as I was running were in the line of questionings. They didn't know who I was, so I had questions on certain things, but I was present. And that's what I mean when I say be visible and speak up. I already had a little practice with that. I got a lot of pushback from that. So, you know, you will develop a thick skin from having somebody be insulted by the question that you ask. But if it's an honest question and you've discussed it with somebody who's a constituent, there's nothing bad about that. So don't worry about those folks. Now, document and stay on track. I think that I went through this pretty well. You're going to have to account for the money that you're spending, and you're going to have to turn it in on time. And you will have to understand that there are deadlines. Now, from 2008, most people, I don't think we had write-in elections until much later. Now it's not that way any longer. I wonder how many people here would be mail-in voters because you can go to the polls, and some people insist on doing that because it's traditional. That's great. But more and more people, maybe they're infirm, maybe before they had to use an absentee ballot because they don't exactly know how to get back and forth. But you have to consider these days that 2 weeks before everybody shows up at the polls, people are getting a ballot in the mail. So if you're trying to get out there and present yourself, it may be that the county that provides you street lists of people, they may be able to delineate whether or not those people are going to be mail-in voters. I suspect they have that ability now. So this is kind of new. Consider those mail-in ballot voters, and it matters because of when you send your mailouts. Makes sense, right? Now, being there and walking and exploring the neighborhoods, think about some people may not be home and you're leaving that trifold. You don't leave it in a mailbox. I think everybody understands why that would be against federal law, but you're going to try to leave it in a place that doesn't blow away. And there are many places that these trifolds fit in. They fit in storm doors very nicely. They fit in the regular doors nicely, and even sometimes under the knock that some people have at the door. But you're leaving something that you're hoping that they'll read. You really should be hoping that they're going to be asking you questions. So they're in that brochure. I think there were. I think I may have had my email in there. And I also shared my phone number, which was a landline. Okay. Don't have to. Many people would be against that. But I also noticed right then, well, before then, that nobody was running on the other ticket. Nobody was running as a Republican. So while I produced this, I thought, well, why would I only run on the Democratic ticket? I'm going to tell those people who have nobody running from their party why I would be, they do have a choice with me. And so that's the next slide I prepared, and let's see if this shows up fairly well. So one of the my mentor in particular, wonderful woman, this is what you could do. This is what I did in my campaign when I, ran. And so I noted on the same street list, those people who are in the other party. And when I went to their door, I made sure I had not only my trifold, but this as folded up that went with the other trifold. And it basically says in my case, I'm Democrat, for registered Republicans only. Yeah, yes, you can cast your vote for me. And I spelled my name out there. And we at the time had been introduced, instead of the lever that you pull, we were introduced to the electronic voting. You can use that at the time, new electronic voting machines makes it easy for you to do a write-in for me. Just follow these steps. So, in the section labeled and the race member of council for your term, select write-in. And I'm basically giving them the instructions. And then a keyboard appears, and you take this with you to the voting booth and type in my name. And the keyboard lets you do that. And then select accept after that. And you had a choice now. So the if you had questions, this is where I left my that no longer exists, that phone number. But if they had questions, I put my phone number there, or send an email, and that still is my email, l_drumheller@mac.com. And believe me, I didn't get inundated with these things because I gave that to them. But I did with some people who had specific things, and it was really good because it enabled me to win the Democratic primary, but I also won the Republican primary in my ward. So I ran against myself in the general. And I guess the joke was, I hope I win. So all of this wasn't just out of, my brain. I had a very important component, and that was a mentor, someone who had run, wasn't successful with their run, but sure knew how to show others. And oh my goodness, her name just appeared on the screen. Did that show, Jess? Because she sent me a text.
No, I didn't see it. That's funny, though.
Okay, that's funny. That isn't that funny. So yeah, so this lady was so helpful to me that I was convinced, and I won that race. And then I began serving on council in 2009, which, by the way, was the year of the regular 4-year race. So I had to have all of those materials, which is why I gathered the signs at the night of the election, because I was going to plant them again in people's yards for the general. And so I decided I was going to become a mentor for the school board election. And I knew three people. And I developed some things on their behalf. Actually, that's what this three trifold was. These were three members. There's bios here, so that as you're folding it up, you're unveiling the bios of the three candidates. And I just came up with, well, one's last name began with a C, the next one began with a D, and the third one began with an E. So I decided that the slogan in front of that should be for A's and B's, vote C, D, and E. And it was Capel, Drumheller, and Elm. So I helped my husband run for school board with two other gentlemen, and they came in for second and third. Yay. But you know what? I had learned by this, and I needed to pay it forward. So they, and in fact, another little thing that I just did from my printer with a cardboard type of paper was that as people were going in, that same saying with their names on it. So I think that went a long way for school board candidates. Now, school board candidates in our area, there are far many running, and they're running at large. So that means it's not just their party, and they have to cover not just one ward, but they have to divide and conquer all seven wards, and the small borough of Pitcairn, which is part of the school district here. So that's called the Gateway School District. So yeah, becoming a member for those candidates and seeing how that turned out was very satisfying, very invigorating. The next year, because of all the things that I learned as an unknown, I think I had to try even harder the next year because I don't see that anybody was really walking the streets and knocking doors. Some people are not able to do that. And sometimes it's just a matter of timing. Nobody else is opposing that person, and they don't figure that they need to run. But you know what? People, and this is what you need to understand when you have people standing out for you at the polls. They need to be there on the peak hours of when on the way to work or on the way back from work. And they need to be asked for your vote. Would you please vote for me? They want to be asked. So that is I think that's the end of my slide here on this. It was something that all of those things leading into actually serving for office, enabling myself to run again in 2009, and other people joined me who were more along the lines that I was running. They wanted transparency too. We won our elections in 2009, and you have to be true to what you wanted to do once you get in office. You can't lose sight of why you were there. And I'm saying that for a reason, because I think we all have experience with the great number of ways that people can be influenced by outside lobbying. And that's why I think I slipped by saying campaign finance reform. One of the best things we can do is that, and to have a fairer way of running, because it shouldn't be money, it should be your message and your commitment to that message after you're lucky enough, has nothing to really do with luck, to get in. You have to stay true.
And thank you so much, Lois. That was really awesome. Full of wonderful practical tips that anybody could use and apply to wherever they may be deciding to run. Hey, with a little bit of time that we have left, can you briefly describe how the gardening program, like how did that work? Was that easy? Was that hard to do? How'd you get that working?
Thank you for mentioning that. My goodness, I wore this t-shirt for a reason.
Yes.
Because one of the things I did as a councilwoman, it wasn't in that first year, it wasn't until I ran again, and it was 2010, and again, it was because I was attending Sustainable Monroeville meetings, just a group of people that met behind the library. I got a couple of, I got one other councilman, and he wasn't of the same party, to walk out and go over an area that was back there. I got permission of the library, and I even got some help from Public Works. And what I did is I wanted to use some of the things that I had learned, that is the contour lines. And I had a neighbor of mine made a big A-frame and a bridge that went across it, and a string that came down from the center of that, with a plastic bottle that had weight in it, like pebbles.
Yeah, like a plumb bob.
Yes. And we went from, I figured we would use like 60 feet across. We would make two rows, and we would do a vegetative swale in between those rows. And it was a gentle sloping land behind the library. And I said, well, why not try that out here? That way, Mother Nature will help retain the moisture so that you won't require too much. As much, I had to make sure I had a tap to be able to use the water. You know, these were things that by the time I was on council for a year were a little easier to come by. And what we did is we had two huge long rows, about 60 feet across, about 4 feet, and then the vegetative swale was about another 4 feet in between or so. And I learned that process by a gentleman. When it came to planting that garden, he may not be in his bit line of business anymore. He started out as a engineer who worked for the government, and he went into soil preparations, and he called it his business Steel City Soils. This fellow was extremely knowledgeable. And on May 31st, 2010, we put that garden in, and I didn't get anybody else to show but him. Damn near killed me. Because it was 97 degrees on May 31st,
Whoa.
2010.
Wow.
Then I had gotten my plants. I did not put them from seed. This was the first time garden. I needed to get my zucchini in and my pole beans and my cucumbers and my tomatoes and my sage and all the things that were around there, and in between, and basil and all that. And we put that garden in. That garden, we learned through the months that followed how to keep the deer and the groundhogs away from it, because I had some groundhogs who absolutely loved zucchini. And we produced about 400 to 500 pounds per year. The highest year that, or the highest yield, was the last year of the food garden, and that was 800 pounds of fresh organic produce. We had four food banks in the Monroeville area, one in Pitcairn, Monroeville area. And what we would do by that time, I had a four or five people that we took turns tending to that. And as the food came in and we harvested it, we weighed it at another Excel sheet that weighed it. That's why I can tell you all these things. And whose turn it was to deliver to what food bank. And everybody who was in my little gardening group did that. I also let the USDA know about what was going on, because In the Obama administration, Michelle Obama was advocating the People's Garden. So this is a T-shirt that is the Monroeville Garden behind the library is one, probably the only one in Southwest PA that is designated as the People's Garden. It has a wonderful little thing in the back. Can you see this?
Yep, that looks cool.
Yeah, and
Share
that.
your harvest.
And I had a bunch of Girl Scouts that I visited at their school, and I got the moms and the Girl Scouts to come out and to take down the garden from the first year, and they all wore their T-shirts, and we took pictures, and it was a great experience. These are the things that are just enriching. There are many things that can try you once that you're in office, and there's a lot of pushback, and there's a lot of territorial stuff. But I will never have anybody take that experience away and
Totally.
what that ended up doing. Because
Yep. Did you get the city to, was that part of the budget of the city to support that? Or did they just say, okay, you can do it, Lois, have at it?
good question, because what I did is I went with my own seed money to the Monroeville Foundation. And the Monroeville Foundation was something that I participated in as a councilwoman, and I presented them a budget, but I also did more than that. I mean, we had for $300, $400, we basically had equipment such that we were able to put that garden in. And then as time went on and I had the need to purchase some other things, I would take a report back to the Monroeville Foundation. They were thrilled with it. And the other things that occurred, one of the neighborhoods in the third ward wanted to spruce up their entrance sign into their plan. And I went to the Monroeville Foundation with two women from that neighborhood. You got to get buy-in from them, and you got to get the neighborhood to help. And what we did is we got perennial plants, and we all took our gloves and tools and redid the entrance into the plan. That was another successful thing that was done. So it is something that enables people to start thinking that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a blessing to nature, of course, and natural life all around. So, well, Lois, with respect to time, let's close things out. I want to give you a shout out and just say how much I appreciate you being here and presenting, but also your advocacy and your ability to mentor other people like moving into those next steps. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but if people watching the summit might want to reach out to you or seek mentorship, should they reach out to you, or do you have any place that you might point them for like mentorship into running for office?
I think that if people are interested in any of those things, I would happily share my email, because emails, you can take your time
Yes.
and get your thoughts out. And I generally include my phone number on there. I'll read the email and then gladly put my phone number on there.
Well, thank
But
you.
yeah, and I mentioned it was in an earlier slide, but it's been pretty much the same all these years. L for Lois. Underscore, not a dash, Drumheller, Drumheller, at Mac, as in MacBook Pro, MAC.com. So
Perfect.
L underscore Drumheller at Mac.com. And sure, I'd be happy to discuss any of that stuff. It's easier to do that before phone call.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That can prep a phone call, sort of. Well, thank you for making yourself available both to us at the summit here and also to folks who might be interested in following in your path. Lois, this has been really wonderful. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for being here, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate you too.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
It's nice that PineNet is there to speak up and help network the permaculture movement. It's only capturing a fraction of the movement that are officially involved and our members. So, boy, if PineNet could get all the permacultures, or half of them, or a fourth of them, to all sign up and become working together, PineNet could just really do so much more.
Just every one of my 2,000 students, and all the students that have been through the course, wherever they are in the world, have in some way made a profound impact. And we could do much more if we could link them up and support them strategically. So that's why I'm asking for support from Pine.